this along to drive home a point. This hammer and I have had some experiences of which we will not talk about, but we'll get to that in just a few moments. Hammond's read Psalms 37. I'm glad that you have, because we're gonna look at it. I've been reading it over and over, and there's a lot in this, and some of it can be very straightforward. But what I get out of it is this. Wherever I go in the Christian community today, it becomes very, very obvious that we obsessively worry about what's going on in the world. Does anybody ever do that? And sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we get frustrated. And we wonder, well, here's my question is that healthy? Okay. Today we're going to look and see, is it biblical? Now, honestly, all right, we can look at two people who looked at certain situations in the world, and it made a difference. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Then he went and died for it. The Apostle Paul was looking at the idolatry in Athens, and he gave his life to change it. So these are two people that saw a situation and they gave their lives to change it. But a dangerous thing is to see a situation and stand back and just set and not do anything about it. It leads to all kinds of frustration and mental anguish and depression, if you like. Is that biblical to have that view? I don't think so. Characteristics of a Christian are love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, patience. Those things do not suggest that we're supposed to get all up in the air about things, do they? So, today we're going to have a look at Psalms 37 and see if we can find an answer to the dilemma of what's going on in the world. But, first of all, let's lay a foundation. Today, we're going to remember a few weeks ago I brought a message about how big is your God? And, you know, how big is God in your life? And one of the guys that I mentioned was King David. And David wrote Psalms 37. And in David's life, God was huge. Which brings the hammer in. Let me give you a little bit of history. I've had that hammer since my early 20s. And the only damage to it was done by our Black Lab catalog as a puppy chewed the handle while we were up in Queensland. That's ebony. If you knew ebony, you would understand that. But, you know, we've been through a lot together, and if I need to drive a nail, I get that hammer. If I need to knock something loose, I get that hammer. I know that I can trust and depend on this hammer to do what we've been through before. Again, there's been some experiences I don't want to talk about because my hammer and my fingers have had a connection on occasion. And we'll not even go there, all right? But I can trust that hammer to do everything I know by experience that it can do. Well, what's the big deal about that? King David knew that God, by his personal experience, he knew that God can be depended on and trusted to do what David had already experienced, what he had done. That's why God was so huge in his life. There was no ambiguity about it. He was confident in his God that God could be trusted. With that foundation, let's look at Psalms chapter 37. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for a man in King David, which we know went through a lot of experiences. He tested you, Lord. And he found out you were trustworthy to do what you said you were going to do. So in his life, you were huge. And David's life wasn't easy. He actually lost some loved ones that broke his heart, but it did not diminish his view of you. And then David writes this psalm from a lifetime of experience. Help us to learn from what he said. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, though, let me just warn you, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. So it may sound a little different. But I didn't want to have to try to translate anything. Okay? So let's get started. Psalms 37, verse number 1 and 2. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. Stop. In the very first verse, we see something that you and I struggle with. It says, don't worry. Any worry warts? I'll put both hands up. We have this obsession with worry. And he says, don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. All of a sudden, he's telling us, remember our view of the world? We get so upset because of everything that's going on in the world. He says, don't worry about the wicked. We could stop and go home. We've already got the message. He says, and don't envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they soon fade away, like spring flowers, they soon wither. Don't worry. And even the Apostle Paul in the New Testament said, don't worry. And I remember a song that was out 20, 30 years ago. Don't worry. Well, you see, you know it too. But why don't we apply that? We always worry. So don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. For like the grass, they soon fade away. So put it in Tony's terms. Don't worry about the wicked. Their days are numbered. It's numbered. Let me tell you something about worry, and I've shared this with you before, so act like you've never heard it. Worry is like rocking in a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you get nowhere. So if you need something to do, we'll sit in a rocking chair and worry. But I think most of us are too busy for that, don't you think? So don't worry. But what are we supposed to do other than worrying? Verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Now, what an answer. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. So, what's the alternative to worrying? Say it with me, class. Trusting in the Lord. What's wrong with Christians trusting God instead of worrying? You see how big God is in David's life? So let's stop worrying so much. You know what? This is going to hit me this evening. I'm going to start worrying. That's all right. I'll hope to start trusting. And here's something else that we can do. Look at verse number 4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Oh, what a promise. So he says, if we get excited in the Lord and jump up and down and holler and scream, he'll give us everything we want, right? No. Well, what did he mean when he says delight in the Lord? I think he means that if we'll delight in him, seek him, desire what he wants, and then pursue his will for our lives, then God will give us the desires of our heart. But delighting in the Lord is being so wrapped up in him that our desires is what he wants
And then he will give us the desires of our heart. So what does God want for us? You ever had a discussion about the will of God? You know how many directions a discussion about the will of God can go in your life? So let's just keep an answer biblical. We're going to go over to 1 John chapter 3, verse number 23 to find out God's will for us. You ready? This is very clear, very specific. God's will for us is this. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Boy, that doesn't take a theology book to find out what the will of God is, does it? God's will for us is to believe in his Son and to love each other. And as Christians, we know we're supposed to not only do that, but teach others to do the same thing. So do you want to teach other people what God's will for their life is? Believe in Jesus and love one another. Boy, is that not simpler or what? So do you want to know God's will? That's God's will for your life and my life. To believe in Jesus and to love each other. But David goes on and tells us some more things that we need to do. Verse 5. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. That sounds an awful lot like trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will help you. Help you what? Help you throughout your whole life. If we will commit everything to the Lord and trust him rather than worrying about the world condition. Trust him to handle it. You think God can handle the world? Amen. Say amen. Do you believe he can? Amen. All right. It's not you. Just make sure. Verse 6. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause shall shine like the noonday sun. Our innocence and our justice. We are always worried about justice. He said, if you'll trust me, then he will make sure the justice of our cause is taken care of. You see, we try to jump in there and do it ourselves, don't we? Anybody like that? I mean, we don't want to trust poor old God. He doesn't know what he's doing. So, you know, we'll take control of our lives and we'll try to do it all of ourselves, right? He said, if you trust me, I'll take care of you. But here's another one that's hard for us to do. Verse 7, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. How many is good at waiting patiently? Let's see if we have a better involvement. How many is not good at waiting patiently? Be still in the presence of the Lord. You should try it sometime. Be still. Silence gets loud. You could actually hear the voice of God when he speaks when you're being still before him. And if we'll be still in his presence, and then we will wait patiently for him to act. That's trusting him. Look how he tags this. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. But what do we find ourselves doing? Worrying about wicked people and fretting about their schemes. Do you see where this one chapter of the Bible can revolutionize our lives?
It can change us completely if we'll just apply what the Bible says. We waste. Oh boy, I know I'm going to wear this. If the Holy Spirit doesn't remind me, my wife will. I can't get by with saying anything without being reminded. I appreciate her doing that, although it's not fun at the moment. Don't worry about evil people. Don't worry. Wait patiently for him to act. But you say it's getting so bad today, it just makes me angry. Right? Anybody think that? Continue reading verse 8. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. Ouch! He's getting all over us. And why? Why do you stop being angry and turn from your rage and do not lose your temper? It only leads to harm. I mean, our psychologists and counselors tell us that today when you need to talk to a counselor. But, you know, that was written in the book of Psalms thousands of years ago. Get over the rage and the frustration. God said, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. Not you. It's not your job. Your job is to trust me. I'll take care of it. Verse 9, for the wicked will be destroyed. That's why we don't have to worry about it. The wicked will be destroyed. But those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. Now listen to what David said. Verse 10. Soon the wicked will disappear. Though you look for them, they'll be gone. The lowly will possess the land and will live in peace and prosperity. The wicked plot against the godly. They snarl at them in defiance. Let me stop. Does that paint a picture of today's day or what? I mean, Christian persecution is ramping up around the world. Let me just remind you of something. You know where some of the greatest Christian persecution is in the world? It's places like in the Middle East, like Iran. You know where the largest church in the world is? Iran. See, God gets the last laugh. Verse 12, but the wicked plot against the godly. They snarl at them in defiance. Verse 13, but the Lord just laughs, for he sees their day of judgment coming. Now, let me tell you something. That's in the Bible. It seems a little harsh where it says God just laughs, for he sees the day of judgment coming. Folks, I'm going to tell you something you won't hear too often. God has a very harsh view of sin. Let's not soft coat it. He has a very harsh view of sin because sin is so destructive and it has destroyed so many people. And when people get so caught up in sin, they're apt to let it destroy them. And that's why he has a harsh view of sin. He loves the sinner. But the sin he despises, it cost him the pain of his son. Verse 14, the wicked draws their swords and string their bows to kill the poor and the oppressed, to slaughter those who do right. Yes, people do that. You can hear it on the news. Verse 15, but their swords will stab their own hearts. And their bows will be broken. You see what happens? Evil people have bad intentions, but God will turn it around. And you and I haven't done a thing but trusted God. You see, God will look after the situation if
will trust him, if we'll stand patiently before him, trust him. Verse 16. It is better to be godly and have little than to be evil and rich. Let me just say this. There's a lot of people today obsessed with making money. That's the goal of life. But David just said it's much better to have little and godly than to be evil and rich. Instead of being obsessed with making money, we should be obsessed with living godly lives. Amen. So folks, we need to switch our focus from gaining this world's goods to living godly lives. God looks after the rest of it. Verse 18. Day by day, the Lord takes care of the innocent, and they will receive an inheritance that lasts forever. They will not be disgraced in hard times. Even in famine, they will have more than enough. Boy, the innocent, these people who live for him, does that sound to you like God's going to look after them? Well, just how does God think he's going to do that? Well, he's God. He can figure it out himself. Will we trust him? Come on, folks. Will we trust him? Then we need to live innocent lives, don't you think? But the wicked, well, he'll look after the innocent. Verse 20, the wicked, but the wicked will die. The Lord's enemies are like flowers in a field. They will disappear like smoke. Whew. Get that. The Lord's enemies. Folks, I'll just leave that. But for you and me, we don't need to worry and fret so much. Amen. Now listen, God can judge, and he can judge righteously, and you and I cannot, because we don't know the heart. You and I can look at a person's actions. We can apply our experience to a person's actions, but we cannot judge justly. He can. Because he knows the heart. Verse 21, let's continue. The wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous givers. You ever loaned and never saw it come back to you? Don't raise your hand. You see, the wicked will borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous givers. Verse 22, those that the Lord blesses will possess the land. God will bless that generous heart. Don't worry about it. Just give because it's pleasing to God. God will take care of the rest of it. We don't have to worry about it. He goes on to say, those he curses will die. Pretty clear distinction between the two. Now, listen to these next verses closely if you don't think God is interested in you as a Christian. Verse 23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall. For the Lord upholds them by his hand. You might recognize this from the King James. The steps of a good man are order. You know, it's that one right there, but I didn't read it from that because I didn't want to sing the song. But what I want you to see is this. The Lord, are you a Christian today? Have you ever felt like maybe there was a time that you wondered if God was really interested because you were going through a difficult time? God is interested in every single detail of your life.
There is nothing about you he's not interested in and concerned and willing to help you if you'll just trust him to do it. Boy, can you hear David's confidence growing? I mean, he's interested. He is so intimately concerned with you and me. He wants to be there if we'll just trust him to be so.
Here's another promise. David said in verse 25, "Once I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread." The godly always give generously. They give generous loans to others, and their children are blessed. Basically, just do right. God will take care of the rest. Do the right thing. Now, a bit of instruction. You ready for this one? Verse 27. "Turn from evil and do good, and you will live in the land." Listen, every one of us have a choice to make when we're about to do something that we know is not honoring to God, right? The Holy Spirit makes sure that we know. He's there, and he goes, uh-uh. It's like Milo and Charlie when we're out on a walk and they see something that they want and I don't want them to have it. I'll go, uh-uh. Uh-uh. Milo doesn't listen to me. He's a Labrador. We've got a bunch of Labradors in here, though. When the Holy Spirit says, uh-uh, we go, well, I want it anyway. It doesn't go down well. "Turn from evil and do good, for you will live in the land forever. For the Lord loves justice, and he will never," listen, "the Lord will never abandon the godly, ever, for eternity. Never will you be abandoned. It doesn't matter how you feel. You'll never be alone." Hallelujah. Say praise the Lord. I might just get excited here. "He will keep the godly safe forever, but the children of the wicked will die." The godly will possess the land and we will live forever.
Wow.
Verse 30. "The godly offer good counsel. They teach right from wrong." I remember, you know what? That's our job, to teach right and right from wrong. But what's right and wrong in our culture? I remember singing a song called "This Little Child" 25, 30 years ago. That says right will become wrong and wrong will become right. You know any times like that? Right now. He says the godly will offer good counsel. They teach right from wrong. That's biblical truth. That doesn't change. "They have made God's law their own, so they will never slip from his path. Now the wicked wait man ambushed for the godly, looking for an excuse to kill them. But the Lord will not let the wicked succeed or let the godly be condemned when they're put on trial." You see what God's doing? In his sovereignty, he's looking after you and me. Aren't you glad you're on his side? The Lord has promised. Listen, folks, you and I are supposed to love people. Everybody agree? He'll sort them out later. But your job, I saw this on a church sign down in Taree the other day. He says, "You love everybody. I'll sort it out." Signed, God. So what's our job? Love everybody. Believe on his son. Love everybody. Verse 35, "I have seen wicked and ruthless people flourish like a tree in its native soil." And we see that over and over and over again in our culture. But he says, but when I look again, they were gone. Though I searched for them, I could not find them. They're gone. Verse 37, look at those who are honest and good, for a wonderful future awaits those who love peace. Those who live honorably and good, and they will have a future if they do what? Love peace. Love peace. Do you love peace? Are you a peacemaker? A wonderful future awaits those who love peace, but the rebellious will be destroyed and they have no future. Man, this chapter fits right into our culture, doesn't it? Verse 39 and 40. The Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress in times of trouble. The Lord helps them, rescuing them from the wicked. He saves them, and they find shelter in Him. Folks, verse 39 and 40 should be printed off and hung on every believer's wall. Let me read it to you again. The Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress in times of trouble. The Lord helps them, rescuing them from the wicked. He saves them, and they find shelter in Him. Wow, that is the full stop comment from David, who says, listen, folks, God can be trusted. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It doesn't matter what politician does what. It does not matter what specialty group does whatever specialty groups do. He will look after the godly if we'll trust Him. Will we? Will we? In the next 24 hours, you're probably going to be put to the test. Will you pass? Folks, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. All right, don't yield to the test.
That's the
steps of the truth. Yeah, stay with me. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Even if he stumbles, God won't let him fall. Will you trust that?
Yeah.
Please stand. Father, thank you for your word. It is so clear, though hard to apply. We need to have the same view of you that David had. He's a man who was well tested. He wasn't perfect, but he had a high view of you. Help us to have that same high view of you. Help us to relax and wait patiently in your presence. And then you will bring our cause and our innocence into full view. Give us that strength in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing with me. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. That the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made.